Kawhi Leonard wearing a Raptors uniform, Donovan, on in normal cases, is a cause, I think, for jubilation. This is an all-world player. This is top five in the NBA. But there are so many caveats that come with this. Expiring year of the contract. You had to give up the franchise guy for it. 100 different ways. What's the biggest part of this story that intrigues you the most, do you think?
Well, the funny thing is, we haven't seen him wear a uniform. We haven't seen him hold up a uniform. He wasn't at the press conference. He didn't speak. He is in town. The Raptors tweeted out a photo last night of himself, Kawhi, with Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster. And, you know, we talked to Doug Smith about this yesterday. He was on Primetime and Tim and Sid. And he felt like you needed a clean break. You needed to have a press conference to say goodbye to DeMar, answer all of those very awkward questions. It was kind of like Masai Ujiri was explaining why he broke up with someone to the assembled media. And then you needed a separate press conference to welcome Kawhi and to allow him to answer all of the awkward questions that he is going to have. So I found it interesting that for a franchise who their slogan was "We the North," we're embracing the fact that we're different. And if you don't like us, that's okay. They wanted to dispel all of the notion of the fact that Damon Stoudemire and Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady and Chris Bosh, all Americans deciding not to want to be here for long, that this is how they jumped into a relationship with an American who most people think does not want to be here.
Well, that's why there's no press conference, though, in my mind. That's why they didn't do it, Boff. That's why Leonard hasn't. Like, how awkward is it? The guy's in town, and you take a pic with management. No comment. Not even so much as a tweet. Nothing in terms of, like, saying that. So, I mean, does that, even if you love the deal, and I love the deal because, like I just said, he's an all-world player. But end of the day, how awkward is that?
It's awkward, but you know what? I almost think that Masai Ujiri almost needed that break, like Donovan was mentioning. I mean, he was in Africa. He flew back for the media conference yesterday. And, you know, maybe Masai Ujiri, you know, hasn't been debriefed on everything either. Maybe he wants to sit down and speak to Kawhi Leonard before going in front of, you know, the throng of media. So I totally buy into that. It is weird that, you know, he is in the city and there hasn't been a introductory press conference yet, but it's one of those things where there's just so many layers to this deal, just from an emotional standpoint, with DeRozan going to San Antonio and just the swing for the fences mentality here. And will he be a Raptor beyond this year? There's just so many questions that I feel like you do need to get your, you know, house in order, and then, you know, when you're in front of the masses, then you're able to clearly convey what you want to say and answer the tougher questions. Because I think, you know, you're right. Like, it needed to be completely separate. You need to have a DeMar, you know, post-mortem, so to speak, and then you need to kind of turn the page.
DeMar DeRozan is in no mood to have a press conference right now. That's why there's no
not
press
in
conference.
Toronto, anyway.
And
not
Kawhi
in Toronto.
Leonard is in no mood to have a press conference either. That's the only rational explanation. That's the only rational explanation. It isn't, well, there's no strategy here. I'm sure Masai wanted Kawhi Leonard at the press conference with him. I'm sure Masai would love to have some kind of acknowledgement for DeRozan. He can't do it. They won't go. DeMar DeRozan wouldn't go to a press conference now. There's no way. Like, I mean, it's not strategy. He's got no choice. And that's why I can't do cartwheels about this. I love Leonard. I love the player. I like the gamble. End of the day, here's my one sentence thing on it, Donovan. I like the deal because the Raptors are trying to win a championship and they do not believe their team, as currently constructed, can win a championship. So I like the deal. Now, the 8 other million things to talk about, DeRozan, you just raffled off a couple of Hall of Famers, for heaven's sakes, who have played for the Raptors, potential Hall of Famers, who have played for the Raptors, who were didn't like the franchise. Mm-hmm. The one guy that says, love this place, been here 9 years, I'm all in. Hey, am I being traded? No, nothing's happening. 9 days later is traded. We're not concerned about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are Hall of Famers. I mean, McGrady is already one. I believe Bosh will be, and I believe Vince will be as well. And when you think of those players, you're going to think of their tenure as Raptors, but you're also going to think of things that they've done elsewhere. If DeMar DeRozan got to a place where he is a Hall of Famer. I don't think he's there yet. You would have only thought of him in one place, and that would have been Toronto. And you know, he literally has loyalty tattooed on his body. And, you know, many people have brought up the fact that he didn't take any other meetings, that he was the definition of loyal. And he said, July 1, midnight, there's only one place I want to be, in Toronto. And it's he was the first superstar to really, really open up his arms and embrace being in this city. And Raj, you used the word mood, and Bafo, you used the word emotion. And I think this is what has fascinated me about this entire transaction and the conversation about it. And it's still, when you look at the page views on our website, it's still the leading topic that people want to talk about. And it's July, and they want to talk about an NBA deal. The thing that I was surprised about was the amount that people have used the word loyalty, the amount of empathy that they have shown for DeMar DeRozan, and the amount of anger and disdain that they've shown towards Masai Ujiri. And I think that in a weird way, it's almost a nice trait that us as Canadians, we value your loyalty over your ability, that we have an attachment to our stars and how they carry themselves, not just on the court, but off. But for a franchise who has never had a top five player, and you're talking about a guy in Kawhi Leonard who was the defensive player of the year and a finals MVP. There's only two people who have ever done that, who've walked this earth. That's Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. That's nice company to keep. I don't know about you guys, but I was fascinated how upset the fan base was, because the Celtics fan base, we've seen it. They said, Isaiah Thomas, it's been nice, but you got a bad hip, and Kyrie Irving is a younger, sexier version than you. Thanks for everything that you've done. We're upgrading. And they rejoiced. And the Raptors fans, with no banners hanging like the Celtics fans, had an opposite response. I found that fascinating.
Well, part of the opposite response, I think, great point, but part of the opposite response is because of the circumstances of the player that's coming. He's in the final year of a contract. He clearly does not want to come. He'll change his mind because he has no choice. He's got to play. He's in a contract year. If this is a deal for DeRozan, Boff, for DeRozan, and a top five player is coming, without the caveat of they had to make the deal, it's a one-year thing, I think that's part and parcel of the anger. But Donovan, you're right. People have side with him. There's an emotion there. They like the player. He's been loyal. They get all that. But if Leonard's got 3 years left on his deal, and Leonard says, well, you know what, I'd like to try to win a title in Toronto, I think that anger, that disappointment, falls away in an awful hurry. I just think the circumstances of the contract have a lot to do with the way people are analyzing this.
But before you jump in, Bafo, and Masai spoke to this quite candidly, actually, in his press conference. If he has 3 years left on his deal, guess what?
No, you're not making the deal.
He's not coming to Toronto.
No,
right?
Especially not for a deal like that.
Yeah.
If you, I get that. But so again, I go back. End of the day, you're trading the franchise, the guy that loves Toronto the most, for a guy who doesn't want to come here and has 1 year on his deal.
Right.
Is that worth it because he's a top five player?
It's a tough sell to the fans, but you know what? It's a tough sell, and you're getting a top five talent back. I mean, you need to give to get in this league, and you need to make salaries match, and that's just how it goes. And, you know, Masai Ujiri, you know, he got on the defensive yesterday and said, loyalty works both ways. I could have fired Dwayne Casey as soon as I got hired as GM years ago. I could have brought in different players and brought in own guys, but instead I gave these guys a chance. So I'm Masai Ujiri, Bobby Webster, the entire organization, they are in, it's a small fraternity. There's 30 NBA teams. These people are put in positions to make the tough decisions, whether fans like it or not.
Well, there's no doubt, and it was a tough decision. So let's then focus in maybe on, never mind the stats, the people, the personalities involved, and how you build a culture of a franchise. So let's take and we don't have it because, again, we haven't had a DeRozan presser or a Kawhi presser, so we don't really know. But based on an Instagram post, based on reaction, based on the conjecture that's out there, DeMar DeRozan feels he was told, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, if you agree with this perspective, that he wasn't being dealt. And maybe at that time, not a maybe, Masai is an honest man, I'm sure he said, look, we've been taught, but DeMar, it's not happening because Greg Popovich is just in the, he wants OG, he wants this. So are you being traded? And it's a true answer. No, nothing's happening. Circumstances change. We talked about this off air, Donovan. Maybe the Spurs have a realization, you know what, we got to get this done. Let's get this done. We're not getting OG. It's the best deal. Call him up. We'll take Jacob and we'll figure it out later. So circumstances change. How does that affect other players? How does that affect people who look at the organization? Does everybody look at that as, well, that's cool, just part of doing business. No big problem there. Charlie Villanueva had a fabulous tweet. I don't know if you guys saw it afterwards. Like he said, literally told me I wasn't being dealt until like 12 hours later he was traded.
Yeah, I wouldn't be traded for anyone other than Michael
from
Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Yeah. Well, did Jordan play here? I don't think so.
Not that I can remember.
Right. So is that even worth, or is it just a case of, oh, get over it? You know, that's athletes know that. It goes back and down. Does that count for anything? Is that something a player might look at as saying, well, you know what? I don't know if I want to do business over there if they're lying to the guy.
Well, Masai, you know, he coined it a gap of miscommunication, which I think will be the new phrase that we use. Like it will be like Roger Clemens misremembered.
Right.
And, you know, Donald Trump mixing up the words would and wouldn't. I'm going to, whenever I don't listen to my wife from now on, I'm going to say it's a gap of miscommunication. But here's the thing. And actually, I think it's important to note that this is the first time that Masai Ujiri has made a deal where we had any wind of it beforehand. The deals that he normally makes are pretty buttoned up and they come out of nowhere. And the ones that are rumored generally don't happen. And so if I'm a president of a team or a general manager, information is a currency. And so I can't give information to a player or an agent because I don't want that out in the marketplace. And that could affect my leverage in this deal or in other deals. So do I believe Masai Ujiri said to DeMar DeRozan, over my dead body, as long as I am here, you will not be traded? No. That doesn't make any sense. He was rumored to be traded at the draft. He was rumored to be traded at the trade deadline the year before. So it wouldn't make sense to say that. If that was the case, he would have given him a no-trade clause when they did their last deal, when free agency started. But do I think he said, listen, DeMar, this is what we're going to need from you to take the next step. And, you know, there's nothing imminent right now in terms of you. I want you focused on X, Y, and Z. Yeah, I think so. And you can take that and inherit that information however you want it to. There's no loyalty in sports. There's no loyalty in business, if we're being honest. And it happens both ways. Yogi Ferrell was let out of a contract so that they could renegotiate. As soon as he was out of it with the Dallas Mavericks, he's decided that, you know what, I want to take other offers. And he goes from a restricted free agent to an unrestricted free agent real quickly. Carlos Boozer has done the same with Gordon Gunn. So I don't necessarily feel like Masai did anything untoward, because you can't expect someone to promise you you're never going to be traded. That's not realistic.
I just think Raptors fans have to, you know, look at this without DeMar DeRozan glasses on and just say Masai Ujiri is attempting to make the team better. And that's all there is to it. The same people that are complaining about this deal are the same ones that were beside themselves after a second consecutive sweep to the Cleveland Cavaliers in May. So do you want to stay status quo, or do you want to try to switch it up? Ujiri said as much in the media conference yesterday. If we came back with the same team, the narrative all season long would have been the same. We'll have a strong regular season, and then the playoffs will come and the jury will be out. So I think, and just from an entertainment standpoint, I'm way more bought into this team because I feel the same. I feel the same way. I feel like I would have, you know, gone to a couple games at the Scotiabank Arena. I would have tuned in to see as many games as I could have on TV. But in reality, I would have just thought, I've seen this movie before. It's the same core of the team. Now I am much more interested to see how Kawhi Leonard gels with the city, with the team. And, you know, people always bring up the Paul George the Paul George situation, how he was all set and signed and ready to go to LA, and now he's back in OKC. I don't think, you know, any two situations are exactly alike. There's different personalities involved, but let the courtship begin. I think everybody believes in their heart of hearts that he's going to leave at the end of the year, but so maybe you just, maybe it's a pleasant surprise. Maybe something happens. He enjoys his time in Toronto. I'm just fascinated to see how it all plays out from an entertainment standpoint.
Well, there's no doubt it is going to be fascinating. Roger Lajoie, Donovan Bennett, Mark Boffo with you here, Sportsnet Hot Stove. Great to have you with us here on Sportsnet 590 Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network this morning as well. Okay, so let's talk about Leonard then, last year. So, all right, he's coming here. It's a contract year, so we get that. The courtship of Toronto, okay, whatever. Your point, you know, about OKC is valid, Mark. You know, sometimes athletes surprise you. Here's a guy who played 9 games last year, managed to PO, speaking of Hall of Famers, Hall of Fame coach, in an organization that has had zero problems with players or attitudes, with the quote-unquote mysterious injury that nobody even knows, in a year where the San Antonio Spurs desperately needed him. They were not a very good team last year compared to their previous years. They were really up against it. Somehow they cobbled up enough wins without him, got into the first round, got smoked. Popovich, at the end of the season, is willing to bury the hatchet, goes to visit him. They have a meeting, apparently. They have a discussion. It goes nowhere. They feel they have. So this is the kind of guy that's coming. Why should we expect him now to immediately buy in to Toronto over 82 games and become the kind of player the Raptors need him to be to compete? And further to Boffo's point, Donovan, is like, was the Raptors' lack of playoff success in the East the last couple of years more about LeBron James than it was anything else?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think it's one that Dwayne Casey's probably thinking to himself. I mean, honestly, I was the first domino to fall, and then next thing you know, LeBron James leaves the conference, and then you add a transitional player that would fit perfectly in my defensive schemes. Man, I just wish I could have seen what my life would have been like if I had those deck of cards that Nick Nurse now has. But with the Kawhi Leonard situation, I think we have to treat the two franchises that he's now been a part of, the Spurs and the Raptors, differently. He's coming here with a fresh slate. And there was some, you know, acrimony that had built up over the last year to year and a half in San Antonio because he was a player who was injured, who feels like his injury was misdiagnosed, who feels like he was rushed and pressured to come back, which made it worse and made it compounding, and felt like the organization, whether it was Pop with his comments about you're going to have to talk to Kawhi's group about his injury, or his teammates calling a meeting, basically trying to kind of pressure him to play, or even the comments from Tony Parker saying that his injury was 10 times worse than Kawhi's and he has already come back from it. He felt, and we talked about loyalty, and we're talking a lot about emotions on this show, he felt, I think, a bit betrayed by the Spurs. And so I think his level of interest for playing for them had waned. And if I'm going to put my body on the line when I've got free agency coming up, you don't seem to have my back. Why should I have your best interest at heart? He comes to Toronto with none of that baggage, literally. And he basically has a year tryout of the city and the franchise, but a year tryout to show the rest of the league that, okay, maybe the market was a little down on me when San Antonio was trying to trade me. Maybe some teams said, well, we're going to take a wait and see approach, which allowed the Raptors to move from fourth to first, which Masai Ujiri kind of outlined to us. I'm going to rebuild my value and show the rest of the league that I'm still physically fit. I'm still an engaged player and a good teammate, in that it was a very unique set of circumstances where I didn't feel comfortable with the training staff and with the coaching staff in San Antonio.
I just don't think there's any way he doesn't go all out this year. Just for, you know, I think the worry when the trade first happened is he even going to report? There was some national media saying he doesn't.
Oh, that's nonsense.
And that's nonsense. You know,
he has to report.
He has to report. He doesn't want to get suspended. He wants to, you know, reestablish his value. And I just don't see how there's any way in a weakened East without LeBron James, with another teammate from San Antonio, Danny Green, coming along with him. So he's not just, you know, the lone wolf here. I just don't see how he doesn't want to have the greatest season of his career going into a new contract. And, you know, there's always the fear that he could walk, but if he walks, then you know what? The Raptors have a decent core of OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam. None of these guys are stars, but, you know, they're growing a bit. They're young. They can develop. And then you're able to rebuild a little faster because you don't have DeMar DeRozan's close to $30 million on the salary, so, or on the books. So it's, I don't envy Masai Ujiri because everybody, all eyes are on him right now. But like I said earlier, he pulled off a major trade to get a major player that would not have normally been available. And I just don't see, I think Masai Ujiri's proven he has a good track record when it comes to making deals for the most part. And I just don't see how he does a deal like this without doing his due diligence.
Okay. Well, there's no doubt he did his due diligence. So let's play it out then a little bit. So let's say the Raptors, as presently now constructed, Leonard's here. He says, okay, I'm in my contract here. I'm going to go up. And a lot can happen to rosters. But Donovan, Kawhi Leonard, Raptors as constructed, best of seven, Boston Celtics with Irving and Hayward back in the lineup. Who wins?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if we're assuming that both Kawhi and Kyrie are fully healthy, because there's question marks around both of them, I honestly think it's a toss-up. I don't think the Sixers are in that conversation. They lost some shooting this offseason, and they're still relatively young. Boston exposed them a bit in the playoffs, but I think either of those teams,
because is not the point of this deal to get to the NBA final finally. The Raptors won 59 games last year, and they fired their coach and they got rid of their best player, or their marquee player, whether mm-hmm. he's best player or not, we can debate that. But so with the intent, okay, well, it's the next step. And he might walk, and in fact, some people think will likely walk. Okay, well, then it's all about winning now. So that's why that question to me is, and I got to admit, I would really have to think about that one. I like the Raptors. I like what Boff said, too. Moving forward, the deal does not hurt the Raptors in any way, shape, or form for the year after next. Even if he walks, they're still in great shape. And I still, it's not a conspiracy theory. I am convinced one of two things happen. They either beat the Celtics, they go to the final, and they take their chances, and whether Leonard resigns, I don't think he resigns, but if he that happens, or if it doesn't, or it goes south, or he's hurt, the Raptors trade him to the Lakers.
Or the Clippers.
Like, the Spurs couldn't do that, but no, the Raptors can do that.
The Spurs couldn't and wouldn't. I think there's a chance they trade him to the Clippers, because I think the Lakers have been pretty frank about the fact that they're just going to wait this out. They're not going to give up any assets. They're not going to do it for Paul George, and it bit them. They didn't even get a meeting with Paul George. He resigned in Oklahoma City. And they're not going to do it for Kawhi. And so I think a team that may want to jump in front of the Lakers is the Clippers, because they need a marquee guy. You don't think Steve Ballmer would love to put Kawhi Leonard on the side of his building? You don't think Doc Rivers, who loves to coach players who've played well against him, would love to get a guy like Kawhi Leonard? And I think that would change the way people view that franchise. And Kawhi Leonard has said he wants to be in Los Angeles. He didn't say necessarily he wants to be a Laker. And for every reporter who said he really wants to play with LeBron James, there's another one who says that he doesn't. Mm-hmm. That he doesn't view being second fiddle to LeBron something that's enticing. And that, in fact, his representation is very close to, and his family is very close to, the family of one Kyrie Irving. And we know how that went. And so if they're telling stories back and forth, maybe that's something that Kawhi doesn't want to sign up for. So I think there's a real trade possibility. I think it's a great point with the Raptors in recouping even more assets than they gave up, which was not much, to one of the Los Angeles teams. Because I think what the Raptors did was they bought, you know, a fixer-upper, but it's a corner lot. They've got a big yard, but there's some weeds. And they can actually rebuild the value of this player. And if he doesn't stay, you'd obviously love him to stay, but if he doesn't stay, then you can actually reset your team in moving him on. I think it's a win-win for the Raptors.
I don't disagree. I think, you know, a trade is always a possibility. I mean, this trade happened, right? So, and if he wants to go to LA and those teams are in the mix, it's always something you have to consider. But for me, I just think you have to, if you're making the playoffs, you and Kawhi Leonard is playing at a high level, or, you know, plays between 65 and 75 games or whatever it is, I just think you need to go for it and keep him around. And if he walks, he walks. He's the best player in the Eastern Conference with LeBron James gone, in my opinion, and if he's completely healthy. I mean, Giannis is in the mix. You can make a case for Embiid and Simmons in Philadelphia and Kyrie when healthy, but none of these guys were MVP finalists. And, you know, if you're not taking a shot in the playoffs with Kawhi Leonard, what are you doing? I just think, you know, it would be a shame to kind of see this fall apart even before it kind of began. That's all.
But that's the point, right? You traded for hope. You were very comfortable with that team. But how many great things do you achieve when you're comfortable? They traded for hope, which a lot of franchises in the NBA do not have right now. And so it's hope for your fan base. It's hope for your sponsors. It's hope that we could make a finals. We could get into the championship conversation. And if you just ran this team back, was a change of Dwayne Casey for Nick Nurse giving anyone hope that the chances of them hoisting a trophy were
well?
Were
the hope came from LeBron James not being around. I all I heard for the last couple of years, Donovan, was, well, the only thing they can't do is beat LeBron James. And now LeBron James is gone. And your point about Casey must be sitting back going, what in the name of, you know what happened here? Mm-hmm. I got fired after 59 wins because I couldn't beat LeBron. Okay. They bring in the assistant. Okay. Oh, LeBron's gone. Oh, okay. Well, at least I'm coaching in Detroit. Oh, they just picked up Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
I'd like this team a lot more if Dwayne Casey was coaching Kawhi Leonard than Nick Nurse. And good luck as a first-year head coach to have to take on that kind of mantle right now.
Well, the funny thing about this is I wonder if Kawhi Leonard would like this team a lot more if Dwayne Casey was coaching.
Well,
because it, from a personality standpoint around hard work and defense and old school, Dwayne Casey and Kawhi Leonard are actually very similar. And we saw this when Dwayne Casey was around all the great All-Stars during All-Star Weekend. Players around the league, not just on this team, but around the league, love Dwayne Casey. And I think part of it is because he was a player. He had a great career at Kentucky. And so part of this season is not just building in hope, but it's also, let's be honest, it's about recruiting Kawhi Leonard. Like, this is a sales job for Masai Ujiri and company for a year. And I wonder if you had an established coach who just came off of being named Coach of the Year, if that would have helped keep this player more so than a guy who's doing it for the first
time. That is a fantastic point. I agree with that one. Donovan Bennett, Mark Boffo, Roger Lajoie. Sportsnet Hot Stove continues.